In the name of the babe of Bethlehem, the Word became flesh. Amen. There are two main accounts of the incarnation, the birth of Christ, in the Scriptures. One we know very, very well. We see it right in front of us here in this beautifully decorated church with all the lights reminding us of the glory of the angels and the songs, and here with Jesus lying in a manger with his mom and his dad. We know that from the Gospel of Luke, and who of us has not been in a Christmas pageant somewhere where we had to learn a part of that Gospel of Luke that tells that rich story of the incarnation? I was talking to my son a few days ago. His boys go to a Christian Lutheran school, and he was telling me that my youngest grandson, Lucas, was Joseph in the Christmas pageant. I said, "Wow, that's great, James. You never got beyond the rank of shepherd." Quick with a response, he said to me, "Well, gee, I wish I knew someone who could have gotten me that part." But what a wonderful story that is, and we remember it fondly as that moment, as Pastor Ron shared with us on Christmas Eve, that heaven touches earth, that eternity touches time. And in that manger, the incarnation happens. But there is another rich account that digs deep into who God is and why God is who he is. And that is the account we just heard in the Gospel of John. That is an account of the incarnation. It is an account of the birth of Christ, written some 90 years after the resurrection. John had encountered a heresy that Jesus was a man born like all of us, but who became good enough to become a God. And so John writes these words: "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The incarnation, the Gospel of Luke, the birth of Jesus Christ. And in these words, the writer John digs so deep into the mind of God, as close as we can probably get, to tell us about who our God is. During the season of Lent, we consider two hymns for our Advent, for our two Advent services. Gee, I had you already at Lent. Skipped a few months here. And we considered those words, and I think there's something really special about the music of the church and why we sing. You know, this of the Father's love begotten, which we're going to think about, consider, meditate on today, was written in the 4th century, just about the time that the creeds were written. And it was written by a Spanish poet. And the music was later written in the 11th century to this music, or to this poetry. And we get this wonderful hymn of the Father's love begotten. And so today, brothers and sisters, one more time, we consider the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. One more time before this new year gets going, we pause a moment and we sing the Christmas hymns. We sing the scripture. We sing the words about who our God is and why he is who he is and what he does for all of us and why he does it. And the first thing that we learn in this hymn of the Father's love begotten is that love is begotten, not made. Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending, he. That's what we sing in that first verse. Now, we sing in another favorite hymn of ours, O Come All Ye Faithful, some words similar to that in the original writing of that hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. In the second verse, it goes like this. It goes, God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb, very God, listen to this, begotten, not created, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. God's love is begotten, not created. The Christ, the Savior, is God's love begotten. We confess that in many places. For instance, in the Nicene Creed, we confess that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I don't know if that sinks in when you say it every week, but I want you to think about that now. The only begotten Son of God, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things are made. And then in the Athanasian Creed, which probably most of you don't say very often because that's that really long one, but it's really an important, important one. In that Athanasian Creed, listen to these words. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. And it continues, furthermore, it is also necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is necessary to our salvation that we believe in the begottenness of Jesus, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Incarnation means in the flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, for the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, ere the world began. Ere the world began. So God's love, his word, is there ere before the world began. God expresses his love in his word. And that's what we heard in the gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. God's expression of love is here in the incarnation of Jesus. And that love comes from a deep place. It comes from God's heart. It comes from God's mind. I know, who can know the mind of God? Its heights, its breadth, its depth. But this is as close as we're going to in Scripture get to understanding that. That God's love for us was deep even before we sinned, even before the world was created. But out of that deep love comes Jesus. Ere the world began, he comes, lying in a manger. He comes with those little baby hands grasping for his mother, hands that 33 years later would be nailed to a cross, stretched to that extent of his love for you and for me. That's how much God loves us. God loves us even ere the world began, and as this hymn continues, evermore and evermore. That is the love of God. He is the God who is, was, and will always be. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That little baby holds in his baby hands and in his crucified hands our past, our present, and our eternal future. That's how much love God has for you and for me. And then we read that it happened. The Word became flesh. That moment where heaven touched earth, where eternity touched time, and the Word became flesh. In this lovely hymn, it says of Mary, "Oh, that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin, full of grace by the Holy Ghost, conceiving, bore the Savior of our race." Lovely, gentle Mary. But we knew that it was going to happen. Had not the prophets told us this? The seers, the prophets of whom we sing in this hymn. Isaiah said, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us, the incarnation in the flesh. God is here with us in the flesh. And Micah, he even told us where it would happen. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." These seers, these prophets, by the grace of God, looked in the very face of Jesus in the manger and in the face of Jesus on the cross. And now we celebrate that. And we come through the work of the Holy Spirit to see that same face of the incarnate Son of God, begotten of the Father's love to us, lying in a manger. This lovely hymn continues and talks about the angels singing, "O ye heights of heavens, adore him, angel hosts his praises sing, powers, dominion, bow before him." Outside of Bethlehem, heaven came down to earth there too. The angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, as we say, as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, where we really see the incarnation in the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those angels came down from heaven. Those angels that sang at the throne of God, the Alpha and the Omega, He. And they sang those glorious words outside of Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest. Glory in excelsis. Melodies and decibels we've never heard before. So sweet, so lovely, so true. But this hymn reminds us that it will be evermore and evermore. Not only have we heard those glorious melodies in the past through Scripture, but we sing them. We're privileged to sing them right now in our own songs. Songs written by ancients, by contemporaries. Songs that express the love of God begotten. We sing with those angels now and forever. Those words of Revelation ring in our ears again and again. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Wow. And then we go back in Scripture and we hear the words, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel," and they sang those glorious words. So then and now and forever, we will sing with those heavenly hosts. If you have those you have loved who are with the Lord now, as I do, they are even now singing with those angels who sang outside of Bethlehem. Isn't that comforting to know that they were there and those loved ones of ours are able to celebrate with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, and that one day we will be there too? "Therefore, God exalted him," Jesus, the Word made flesh, "to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We sing, let no tongue on earth be silent. Every voice in concert ring evermore and evermore. And the final doxological verse of this ancient hymn of the church is a shout of jubilation for us. It is a thanksgiving which you and I celebrate. The miracle of the manger, evermore and evermore. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Father, how we thank you for yet again celebrating this miracle of the manger, of coming again to Bethlehem, of joining angels in singing, and of looking forward to being with you evermore and evermore. You have expressed your love so deeply in the very gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is our Savior. Bless us not only at this Christmas time, but always through your word made flesh. Amen.